Hello all, and welcome back to Crime and Tea. My name is Crystal, and I'll be your lovely host as usual for today. Now, I do want to put a warning out that this is a sensitive case with sensitive issues. It is a heavy abuse case, so if that's not something you can handle, please feel free to skip this episode. This involves children, and I know that it is not something that everyone is totally comfortable hearing about. We'll be covering one case, and it is a rough one, so if you're sticking with me, be prepared. It gets really fucked up. This will also be the very first multi-part episode for Crime and Tea, so that's exciting for me. We will be covering something a bit lighter after this one, though, because it will be much needed and welcomed. So without further ado, get your tea, coffee, or something cozy, and let's get into it. Today, we will be getting into the Sylvia and Jenny Lichen story, and the atrocities that were left to go on in the care of Gertrude Banaszewski. So for context, we will get some backstory on Gertrude to start off with. Gertrude was born in Indiana as Gertrude Van Fossen in 1929. She had five siblings, but there is little known about her childhood. She had a poor relationship with her mother, but a very strong relationship with her father. Her father passed away suddenly from a heart attack in front of her in 1940. 5 years later, Gertrude dropped out of high school at 16 and decided to marry 18-year-old deputy John Banaszewski. The couple had four children together and were married for 10 years. John was extremely abusive and would beat her whenever she annoyed him. The couple stayed together for 10 years before eventually separating, and Gertrude ended up getting custody of the children. Shortly thereafter, she married Edward Guthrie, who then divorced her after 3 months because her kids annoyed him. He's a winner. She then gets remarried to John, and they have two more children that lasted for 7 more years. They were separated for good in 1963. I'm assuming the separation came from the affair she was having with 23-year-old Dennis Lee Ray while she was 37 at the time. Dennis also ended up being very abusive toward Gertrude as well. They ended up having one child together, Dennis Jr. But she also had another pregnancy that ended in a miscarriage, which was said to be the result of her being abused. So at this point, Gertrude had 7 children, and she had suffered 6 miscarriages. Shortly after Dennis Jr.'s birth, Dennis Sr. leaves Gertrude, and she has nothing at this point as Dennis was supporting her and her children. This is when she is pushed into the role of supporting her very large family. She did receive occasional child support payments, but they were not consistent. This is when Gertrude gets into babysitting, doing laundry, and other odd jobs. Her finances were further strained by her 17-year-old Paula becoming pregnant with a middle-aged married man. During this time, Gertrude's health begins to decline, and she is chronically ill. She also stops keeping herself clean and is barely eating. This resulted in her having a receding hairline, sunken in eyes, and just very emaciated looking. She also presented herself as Mrs. Wright, claiming that Dennis married her before he left her, which left her with some respectability at the time. Now, in July of 1965, Paula Banaszewski met with a friend of hers, Darlene McGuire, who introduced her to 2 new girls in town. These girls were 16-year-old Sylvia and 15-year-old Jenny Lichens. Jenny had braces to walk due to having polio. The girls all went together and went to Paula's house, 3850 East New York Street. They had some sodas and listened to some music and by all accounts had a really good time. At the time, Betty, the Lichens girl's mother, was currently in county jail for shoplifting. Sylvia was left to take care of herself and her sister at this point because their mother had essentially kidnapped the girls from their father, Lester. They were having some marital issues at this time and point, and Lester was looking for them. Paula gets wind that the girls don't have a place to stay and offer for them to stay the night with them. The following day, Lester had managed to track his wife down, seeing she had been arrested. Lester heads into town looking for the girls and was pointed in the direction of the Banaszewski's house. He soon runs into Gertrude, who introduces herself as Mrs. White. The two got talking and seemingly were having a good chat. Somehow, over the course of their brief interaction, they came up with a plan for the girls. Lester and Betty had reconciled earlier that day and decided they would travel around the U.S. as part of the carnival circuit. I'm sure this came up in the conversation, and Gertrude, trying to make some extra money, suggested that she board the girls for them for $20 a week. Now, this is one of the biggest issues I have with this whole situation. Lester never inspects the home to which his children will effectively be living in immediately. Now, I understand this is a much more trusting time period, but I could never imagine leaving my child with a total stranger. I have issues leaving them with people I do know, let alone some rando that I just met. I'm not blaming Lester. I am sure they were just desperate to be able to get some work and make some money. There is another account that states that the two met through a mutual friend, but even still, Gertrude had no business taking on more children when she could hardly take care of the one she already had. I'm sure they thought the girls would be just fine. After all, their daughter Sylvia was a wonderful girl. She would babysit, she had good friends, she'd help with chores and small jobs, she adored the Beatles and just lived as an average teenager. However, if Lester had just taken a small peek into the home of Gertrude, I am most certain he would never have thought to leave the girls in her care. In the home, there was no stove or microwave to prepare food. There were only enough beds for half of the individuals already residing in the home, as well as only enough silverware for three people. The only food in the home was some bread and crackers. The counters and surfaces throughout the home were totally caked with dirt and grime. Unfortunately, the girls had the misfortune of having to reside here now. Now, the first week in the home was relatively normal. They attended school and went to church, and all was relatively normal. After the first week goes by, Gertrude was expecting the payment. However, it didn't come the day it was expected. In this week leading up, Paula and Sylvia had gotten into some sort of tiff, and this seemed to just exacerbate the coming month's events. So having the money not arrive, Gertrude threw a temper tantrum. Jenny later testified that she, quote, took us upstairs and she slapped me and said, well, I took care of you two bitches for a week for nothing. Now, in some instances, it goes on to say that the girls were then made to expose their bare bottoms and they were beaten with a paddle. It was difficult to discern what actually transpired in this first instance. The check would arrive a day later, but Gertrude had already made up her mind about the situation. The situation starts to escalate after this initial attack. It is said that Lester and Betty had visited the girls, as it was agreed they would, but the girls were too afraid they would get in trouble or they wouldn't be believed to say anything. The following week, sometime, the girls decide to collect Coke bottles to make some money so they could buy some candy. When they came home, Gertrude accused the two of stealing. Sylvia tried to explain to Gertrude how they'd gotten the candy, but it was to no avail. Gertrude said that she was a liar and proceeded to again give Sylvia a beating on her bare bottom with the paddle. A time later, the Banaszewski children tell their mother they were disgusted by the amount of food Sylvia had eaten at a church function, which is like, of course she's eating a ton here, you're not feeding her adequately enough. Gertrude tells Sylvia that she is angry she would do something to ruin her physical appearance. She then forces her to eat a hot dog with a bunch of condiments and spices, to which Sylvia ends up, trigger warning, this is gross, ends up vomiting and was forced to consume her own vomit. Like, you are a fucking monster. Oh, what the actual fuck is wrong with you? And how are you treating another human being in this manner? Seriously, this case just breaks my heart. It is said that Gertrude focused her abuse mostly on Sylvia because she was likely jealous of her potential and appearance. Why are you taking out your frustrations of your own life out on a child? It just doesn't make any sort of sense. The girls again had another visit from their parents after the hot dog incident. However, they still kept their mouths shut, fearing it would just make things worse. Now, this is around when things go from bad to worse. Sometime in late August of 1965, Sylvia was humiliated when she claimed to have a boyfriend from Long Beach when her family was staying in California in the spring of that year. Gertrude interjected herself into the conversation, asking if she, quote, ever done anything with a boy. Sylvia, not understanding what she meant, said, quote, I guess so. She said she went skating to a or she went skating to a park on the beach with them and Jenny. Sylvia then divulges the nail that Gertrude uses to justify her treatment of her after this. She pretty much just goes nuts, and it's just crazy to me that this all went on. Sylvia says she'd laid under the covers with her boyfriend and that he may have felt her up, to which Gertrude asked, quote, "Why did you do that, Sylvia?" She just goes on to say, quote, "I don't know." Now, it is said in some instances that hearing this, Gertrude goes into a rage and cursing, accusing Sylvia of being a prostitute. She then tells the rest of the home that she is pregnant because she let a boy touch her vagina. The other version is that it is a few days later that she actually instigates an ordeal with Sylvia, saying that Gertrude brought the prior conversation up with Sylvia and said to her, quote, "You're certainly getting big in the stomach, Sylvia. It looks like you're going to have a baby." Sylvia thought she was getting... or was kidding, and retorted, quote, "Yeah, it sure is getting big. I'm just going to have to go on a diet," which is really just crazy to me, knowing that at this point she is hardly eating regular meals, and she's probably just constantly hungry at this point. It is said then that Gertrude informed her and the other girls that whenever they did something with a boy, that they would be sure to have a baby. Meanwhile, Paula is over here, 3 months pregnant with some married man's baby, but you're freaking out about Sylvia's seriously innocent act with a boy. Gertrude then attacks Sylvia, kicking her repeatedly in the crotch. When Sylvia attempts to sit, jealous Paula throws her out of the chair, telling her, quote, "You ain't fit to sit in chairs." After this ordeal, Sylvia was only permitted to sit if given permission, which is just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Now, Sylvia attempted to get a little payback in the only place she had any sense of control at school. This was, of course, the school that all of the children attended with her. She thought she would spread a rumor about Stephanie and Paula, saying they were prostitutes. She didn't think that it would escalate her situation. She was just so frustrated with her lack of control and unfair treatment she was receiving. Of course, it wasn't long before Paula and Stephanie caught wind of the rumor. A boy at school jokingly asked Stephanie about her services and told her that Sylvia was spreading the rumor about them. Stephanie went to Sylvia to figure out what was going on, and Sylvia admitted that it was her. Stephanie's response was to punch her. Sylvia said she was sorry, and the girls began to cry together. Unfortunately, 15-year-old Coy Hubbard found out about this rumor that was spreading about his girlfriend, Stephanie, and he was pissed. He brutally attacked her, slapping her, banging her head into a wall, and flipping her backwards onto the floor, which is just completely out of line for this minor rumor. Subsequently, Gertrude ended up finding out, and she also got a beating with the paddle. At this point, Gertrude started letting the older children use and abuse Sylvia as they wished. They used her as a, quote, plaything with, quote, games of beating her and pushing her down the stairs. As I previously stated, it is speculated Gertrude seemed to be jealous of Sylvia's potential for life and to be happy. It was thought to be a form of self-loathing that she actively participated in the torture and degradation of Sylvia. Others speculated it was a mental break from all the things she suffered through in her life. It was also thought that it was just an extreme form of abuse that she used to take her anger out on Gertrude, or on her, I'm sorry. Gertrude would justify her behavior by accusing Sylvia of being a prostitute, as well as subjecting all the children to her, quote, sermons saying prostitutes were filthy and that women in general were just filthy. Now, this is where we leave off for part one of this case. I haven't decided whether it's going to be a two-parter or three-parter, but I will have it figured out by the next one, obviously. Thank you guys so much for dropping in. I know this case is a lot, and we really just hit the tip of the iceberg. So if you felt this was too much, I would definitely reconsider listening to the next part because it gets much darker and deeper. As always, the sources will be linked down below, and you can go follow the Instagram at Crime and Tea. You may also send me a Gmail at crimeandteapodcast@gmail.com with questions, comments, suggestions, and whatever may be on your mind. If you are interested in making a donation, you can do so at the anchor link below. Thanks again so much for dropping by. Till next time's tea. Bye.